Welcome to the November 8th, 2013 Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. Hi there, everybody. I am Addison Berry, your hostess for the Drupalize Me podcast, and today I have with me two very smart guys. I have Christophe Galli.
Hello there.
And I also have Miro Dietiker.
This is me.
And the reason I have these great guys on is to talk about multilingual Drupal sites, but specifically we're talking about their project, Translation Management Tools, which is kind of an area that people haven't really, well, I'm sure people who have to deal with this on a regular basis have thought about it, but it's not exactly, it's not internationalization and that kind of stuff. It's a whole other aspect of making your multilingual Drupal site not want to kill you. So that's what we're going to be getting into today and talking all about that project and what that's about and why you would want to get involved there. Let's do some quick news and event stuff. First off, as always, make sure you check out our other podcasts. We have the Creative Process podcast with Jared Ponchat, and we have Insert Content Here with Jeff Eaton. You can find those on lullabot.com. And this week, we are starting up using Drupal series videos again. We're doing Chapter 4, which is Media Management, and that looks at using Media Module 2X version, which has been in development for a while. And then we're also, at the same time, doing a parallel series on the Media 1 version. So depending on which version you end up wanting to use, you'll have two series. You can pick the one that's most appropriate to your needs. In big Drupal news, Drupal.org got upgraded to Drupal 7 last week. It took almost an entire day, but it's also a lot of stuff that needs to be done. And overall, you're probably not going to see many differences on Drupal.org, except in the issue queue. The issues in the issue queue look quite different and operate a little differently now. So you should definitely go check that out. They made a lot of improvements. Some of it can be a little confusing if you're used to how things were, but you should get familiar with it. It's got some really neat stuff in there. So anyway, big congratulations to everybody on the team who made that upgrade happen. It was a huge project. It took a lot of time and a lot of energy from a lot of people. So congrats and thanks, everybody. And let's see, events coming up. November 16th, BarCamp Charleston in South Carolina. We're actually sponsoring that. And later on in November 22nd through 24th, there is a Drupal camp in Vienna, Austria. And if you are listening to this because you're interested in multilingual sites, you also may be interested to know that Gabor Huitsi is doing a Drupal 8 multilingual workshop at Drupal Camp Vienna, and it's only €50 for the whole day. So if you're interested in that space, you should go check out Drupal Camp Vienna and potentially in that workshop. And then another thing that's on radar is December 2nd, there's Drupal Camp Cornell in Ithaca, New York. At Cornell University, and it's going to be very a lot of stuff, I think, about like Drupal in the education space and higher education. So that looks like another good one that's out there. So, okay, enough with me gabbing and talking about lots of things. Let's get other people talking about lots of things. So I want to get my goal at the end of this podcast is for me and all of my listeners to understand what translation management is about. Like, why does it exist even to begin with? So to start things off, let's just get a very simple picture of what exactly is translation management.
Okay, it's really an administration tool for managing the translation process. You know, Drupal is, thanks to the work of Gabor and his team, really translatable to 100% today, which is fantastic in itself. But the workflows which you use to translate whole sites are missing a bit. You know, we are in an environment where very often you have up to 5, 6, 7 languages, and when you have 100 nodes or more, you lose track of what is where pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So this is really why we developed this set of tools that really just help you manage the process, keep track of what is going where, on where, and so on and so on. So as an overview, it's a fully pluggable system. You can plug all sorts of sources in there. To start with, all elements from Drupal. You can plug different translation services, people, systems into it to send the stuff to be translated to. We give a complete overview of the node states and of jobs that have been created. You can also have an overview of what has been sent where to which system. And we can even automate most of these processes because rules integration is complete.
Nice. So is this focused on content translation? Because the interface translation is different, is a different world in multilingual than content. So like my admin UI and things I'm doing is interface, whereas I wrote a new blog post and now I need it to also be in French and German is yep. content translation. So is the translation management like looking at that whole content process?
Today we can translate everything into Drupal. There are source plugins for nodes, for entities, for I18n strings, and for taxonomies, menus, blocks, whatever.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
The goal was always from the beginning to have a button on the top right and say translate whole site.
Wow.
We're not there yet.
Dang. Yeah, that's quite a goal.
Yes.
So you're saying like, you know, I18n strings and stuff like that. And for folks who don't know, I18n means internationalization. How does this integrate or work with or beside, I guess, things like the internationalization module or Drupal's core locale module and that kind of a thing?
Translation management is a layer on top of it. So it integrates to all of these modules and even partially depends on them. So, basically first Drupal itself needs to make sure that things are translatable. And we then add this layer where you can create that concept of a job and collect the translatable things. And then basically we are unifying this process. And yeah, and allow you to send this job to translators.
Right. That's, yeah. Because I have found, I haven't done a lot of multilingual sites myself because most of the time I've been working with North American clients, not in Quebec. but I have messed around with internationalization stuff. And I think one of the biggest disconnects that people have is, it's great. We have wonderful multilingual capabilities and particularly with interface translation and different ways of handling the nodes. But then people are, I've always had people come and ask me, so how do I actually get my things translated? And it's like, well, see, that's, you need to have somebody translate it. Somebody needs to know what's going on. And like that whole process of, well, should I use a service if I have somebody do it? Like then it becomes this whole other world of, yeah. Wow. Like it's, you know, it's sort of the tip of the iceberg when you set your site up for internationalization. It's great if the system's sort of there, but yeah, this whole aspect of like managing the actual translation and like who's doing what and how are you getting this done is huge. So I'm curious, how did just project get started? Like were you guys like pulling your hair out about that made you like actually sit down and say, we're going to put our time and energy into this? And like, what was, you said the original goal was to have like a big button to translate the site, but like, how did you get to the point where you said, we have to have this?
Yes. You know, in Switzerland, most web projects are multilingual. And once you get to the point where a translation phase happens in a project, most resources are really exhausted. Like, you know, the project might even already took longer than expected and the translator might not be available. And we wanted to improve that situation and kind of help speed up the project and get rid of the pains here. Translation management started in 2012, January, with 23 developers joining our initial call for a sprint. And we delivered within a week more than 108 days of work on this module. So that was really an exciting start. And our key goals then were that we really wanted to reduce that management overhead, so basically help provide orientation, making that process simpler, easier for the customer and the developer, and avoid that common copy-paste work with copying content around and even into Word files. And finally, speeding up the project, you know, making it feasible to outsource the translation work and allowing third parties to join that the project and even make it cheaper that way in many cases.
How many people, you said how many people you had at that sprint. Have you had further sprints after that that first sprint? Like, how many people have continued to work on it beyond the sprint that started it?
We continued with the project permanently beside our regular projects. There was not something like a focused public huge sprint with a similar size. But yeah, here and there we brought up the topic again. And basically, I would say, meanwhile, there are more than 3,000 hours in the project.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a huge undertaking. It's not a small task you have before you.
You know, I think we have to mention here, Sascha Grossenbacher. He goes by the name of Berdir on Drupal.org. He's the main developer. And he has put in most of the work. But here and there, we have had sprints and a lot of people coming in and helping out. So it's a big community effort.
Great. So I noticed you guys are now in beta. Is it beta 2, I think, right now? What's the plan going forward? Like, what is your 1.0 launchable, you know, goals? Like, what is it that you want to have for that? And then do you have plans beyond that, or is that going to satisfy your needs?
We could release version 1 now if we had time. Sascha is very strongly involved in Drupal 8 core development. He's the co-maintainer of the entity field system. And it's really just a question of him finding the time to putting in into release 1. It has been stable for a long time, so we can go out with that. If you look at the issue queue, there's many different ideas of what we could enhance the system with. And it's certainly going to go on to make it more practical, but the system itself can be used today and is stable.
Okay, great. What for you personally, what is like the one big feature that you would like to see get in the future? Do you have one?
Yes, I have one. I mean, one of the difficulties with translation is the whole HTML tagging stuff. And that is today exposed to the people working with it. And if we could find a caching or covering system for that, that would really improve the things dramatically.
So how do you see the whole translation management ecosystem evolving? Like, what's the big picture look like for you?
You know, translation management is not just that TMGMT module and that's it, because there is a lot of more around it. Even in the early stage when we started, a lot of translation service providers joined the sprint, and meanwhile, you know, more and more of them are basically asking on whether we can help them integrate with it, and so they can benefit of translation management. And also, what we have started with is created an installation profile called Hermes, which allows you to run your own translation management server. A translation management server provides you the functionality so that you can receive jobs. So basically, anyone having a Drupal system, having that translation management module enabled, can send you then a translation job. Yeah. You are not kind of locked in with the today's online service providers. You know where you need to use their online platforms to actually do the translation, and even, well, they even get a lot of money out of these jobs. So basically, we want to open this process it's free. Everyone can run a translation management server, and the system even allows. Well, this server has a lot of capabilities. On one side, you as a company can also run it as a central management platform. So you can use it to aggregate your jobs if you have multiple websites, and then from there pass on the jobs to a third-party provider. Or we can put this system into a mode where it just drops you an email when a job comes in, and basically sends you the email XLIF export job, so you can use your desktop translation tools to do the translation.
Cool. So like if I wanted to provide translations, I could set this up and then just get work and then send it back, kind of a thing, through this server?
Yes, kind of. Today, if you do that, you have to have a client with the Drupal installation, then you connect to him by a secure key, a public and private key relationship, then he can send you jobs and you can translate them, send them back. He has a review process, and then they flow into his content automatically.
Wow, that's pretty slick.
It is. Yeah. But, you know, there's even a further idea which we're working on, and it is we want to establish a public directory for translation services where Drupal users can find a translator suitable to their needs. And then, I mean, it's almost finished. It should be, I would say, early next year, we will go out with it.
Well, you just drew a line in the sand.
and the service really allows you to send jobs through the directory directly to customer, to translator and back. So you don't even have to put up this special relationship with one guy with the keys. The system take care of that.
Nice. Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, we have so like Drupalize.me is not it's not a multilingual site, but we have transcripts for the videos and we have subtitles and we have those translated on some of the stuff. And just trying to find translators and get people to do the work. I mean, to me that was like always like the big question, because it's like, that's great if I want to have a multilingual site. I am not multilingual. I am barely learning Danish. So like, you know, how do you actually hook up with those things without, because translation services, I know from experience, because we use one, are not cheap. It costs quite a lot of money to run things through translation services. So I think this is like a wonderful idea in order to, just to basically create a larger pool of resources for people who are trying to figure this out. That's great.
I mean, today, talking about cost, I mean, there are these automated systems by Microsoft and by Google. We have plugins for both of those. They can be a good starting point for a translation if you want to save money and finish the job yourself. There are also these crowdsourcing translation systems like Geng, Supertext, and 1 Hour Translation, etc. They cost money, but they're reasonable. And then there are fully professional translators which can get hooked up as well. It's growing, but it's a lot of work. So, you know, we can use everybody helping out in the issue queue.
So is the issue queue for this all in the TMGMT project?
Okay. There is also a TMGMT server project, which goes under the name of Hermes. Hermes is the god of languages. That's why we call it so. And there's an issue queue there as well, if I am correctly.
Yes.
But the main part is TMGMT.
And all translators have their own issue queue and own projects.
Okay, wow. Cool. Yeah. Right, we'll make sure we have links to that stuff in the podcast notes, so anybody who wants to go check it out can find that. But also, definitely, in terms of getting involved in the issues and helping make this happen, because it is kind of a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
And you guys have been at it for almost 2 years now, right?
Yes.
So a lot of time and energy. So looking even further into the future. So Berder is working in the D8 stuff. Have you guys looked at the D8 multilingual work and how, you know, that is going to work with translation management stuff in the future? Are you starting to think of that, or are you still mainly focused on just making sure the Drupal 7 stuff is working?
The D8 stuff is actually done.
Wow.
We have a working module on D8.
Nice. Well, I guess having somebody who's really involved in D8 core helps with that.
It's absolutely, you know, it actually goes further. I found out in after sight that the architecture of the D7 version is actually the plugin architecture of D8.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it helps.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Wow, awesome. So when it comes to D8, people will be able to just keep on moving on. That's
absolutely
awesome. So I'm curious for you guys, like, what is, obviously translation management is the thing you guys are very focused on. But what is like the biggest, I don't know, challenge and or exciting thing about multilingual websites? And like, you know, it's been a long road. I don't know how long you guys have been involved with Drupal, but boy, has the multilingual system come a long way in Drupal. It's done a lot, and I feel like, wow, we've done so much. It's great, but like, I don't know. What else out on the horizon, just in terms of multilingual stuff generally, do you think is exciting or troublesome?
You know, it's like Drupal itself. Already Drupal 7 got a lot of major improvements, and we thought, oh wow, that's it, now translation is done, translation is easy. And now even with Drupal 8, people were asking, like, is there even a need for that translation management again? Because again, Drupal is getting better with the editor experience, and the UI is unified, kind of unified. They did a great job in improving all that UIs, but still translation management is required, because that abstraction level of creating the job and delegating it to a third party is not a feature that Core provides. And you know, with Drupal 8, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. Also with our module, even we are ready and it works. I guess there's a long road, and whenever you finish one feature, you see 10 other new ideas. Yeah, and
of course, yeah.
And really, the project constantly grows or even explodes with complexity and possibilities. And you know, there's a really, I mean, once you get better, then basically it needs more and more and more resources. And we, let's say, every step we improve that situation, we really get motivated. And basically that the vision is getting more crazy for the whole ecosystem.
I would say the same thing as Miro, the same with the whole system. As you said, translation system has gotten much better, and I'm quite impressed by how much the process has been streamlined in Drupal 8. I mean, all the work that Gabor has done is really amazing. You can still translate a taxonomy in three different ways, and they will get in each other's way as well. It's really gone very far. I mean, I said we are ready with D8. That's not completely true, but the core is there. There is a working demo, by the way, on the video from Prague. And we'll have a working demo in Vienna in about 2 weeks' time. I just finished the Google Translate D8 this morning, and it's truly amazing how much stuff you can throw out when you go from D7 to D8.
Nice. All
the special quirks, which are just streamlined and straight ahead in D8, and that's really, really cool. So we have set the goal that when D8 goes beta, we will go alpha.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's heartening to hear, not just because, I mean, if people want to use the module and they want to know it's being upgraded, but also it's really important for people with projects to be digging into Drupal 8 earlier, rather, you know, sooner rather than later, to so that we actually know what's going on with Drupal 8. Drupal 8's probably not going to come out for a little while, but it's like people should be working on projects like this now to see how does your project work with Drupal 8, and are there problems that could be fixed now? So it's I'm happy to hear that a big complex project like this has been keeping sort of up, as it were, with 8, because that's a really important playground for us to test what Drupal 8 is capable of and making sure it can do what we need it to do. So that's awesome news, in addition to just, that's great, you'll have a Drupal 8 module pretty quick out of the gate, which is amazing, especially for a project this complex, I would say.
You know, I'm an old man, so I learned object-oriented programming 30 years ago, and then have, for the first time ever, the chance to understand Drupal now.
Yes, finally. Aww, you know, but our Drupalisms are so cute and quaint. I think for me, we're always going to keep trying to look, I think, to automate more and create more tools to help people. But at the end of the day, I mean, and, you know, there are, like you said, mentioned, there are sort of these automated translation services like Google, and that's a good start, but it's certainly not a good translation. I don't want anybody to walk away from here with that misperception, but it is a wonderful tool for free just to get started with something, but you really do still have to translate. And it still comes back to human beings, you know, people need to be involved when you're dealing with multilingual. Content on a site generally does, but as soon as you get into that multilingual thing, it feels like a more, you know, human management side of things, because there's just no way around it, but you have to have people who know the languages to make it all match up and make sense. And so I kind of feel like no matter how many, you know, tools we keep throwing at it, the translation management, this is kind of going that direction. It's so there's the underlying framework, the structure to make this work on your website, but the tools to help manage the people and the processes is always going to be there. Because once you step out of code and into humans, you know, then you need, there's some, the more bridges you can have there, the better, you know, because that's a whole other world that you're never going to automate. Well, I can't say never. Technology's done crazy things, but you're not going to, where we are now, we're not going to automate the human beings part of it, you know, for now. So, yeah. Cool. Well, that's awesome. It sounds like a great project. I'm glad that you guys came on and shared this stuff with us. Do you have any parting thoughts or things that you would like to promote or share with folks?
Yes, we have in the past seen other projects going in a similar direction, even copy code and reinventing the same stuff, and that is perfectly legal under GPL, but as a community, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. We should rather invest our energy into taking one system and further developing into more benefit for everybody. That's what I really would ask for, or hope for.
Yeah, and there are issue queues and conversations. Again, human beings, it's not about writing code. It's about communicating with the other human beings, trying to solve a problem together. So, yeah.
But, you know, naming the issue queue and communication in the same sentence is pretty hard, isn't it?
It is, but it is, you know, one of the main tools that we have. Do you guys spend time in IRC?
I don't.
I am, yes. Usually in the German channel.
Okay, yeah. But, you know, the issue queue is sort of our place to communicate as best we can, or, you know, going to events. So I definitely, you know, if folks are around, I really, really wanted to go to Drupal Camp Vienna, but I have, I've been home less than I've been on the road recently, and I'm going to, that's the 22nd to the 24th is the only weekend that I'm home in November, so I wanted to stay home. So I'm sorry to not be there, but But definitely, like, I also getting together, like meeting people, sitting down and talking about these things together is important stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's the next opportunity to see something about translation management that's in Vienna. The session is on Saturday, 11 o'clock. So if you're interested, come and see.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. I really appreciate having you guys on. And let me wrap things up by just saying, if you have thoughts or comments about this podcast, of course, you can leave comments on the podcast page on lullabot.com. But you can also get in touch with us through other methods, especially if you have topics that you want to hear or if you want to be on the podcast because you have cool stuff to say. You can contact us through the Drupalize Me contact form, so drupalize.me/contact. And then also on Twitter, so twitter.com/drupalizeme and facebook.com/drupalizeme. We're on the interwebs. So yeah, give us a shout. Let us know what you think. And I will catch you guys on the next podcast. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.